Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
I feel like this every Friday afternoon, in need of some rest. And of course, there's physical rest, there is the mental rest. The two are obviously not the same thing. We don't live in a society that values rest, although we tend to work for our leisure. We don't live in a society that values anything but good, hard, honest work. And yet man, while he is cursed with hard labor on account of sin, Christians know that this labor has been redeemed, yet we're not without the need for a respite, for rest, for some time off, as we say. And sometimes vacations don't do it, at least the 3 weeks, the 2 weeks, whatever we get, especially for people who labor in the Lord's vineyard as servants in the church, its pastors. We're going to talk about pastoral sabbaticals, the need for them, the wisdom of them. Pastor Randy Asbury joins us for the next half hour. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Randy, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be back.
Tell us your story. Why did you need time off, more than just time off, actual sabbatical, some rest?
Well, probably started, truth be told, a couple of years ago, but I didn't realize it. Actually, last fall, probably August, September of 2008, I was going through some depression and burnout, though I hadn't really put my finger on those things at the time, and things just weren't going well, and seemed like the world was spinning out of control, you might say. One morning at breakfast, I think it was, my wife says, you need to get some help. And so that really kind of spurred me on to figure out, you know, what I needed to do. Find out there are symptoms of depression that manifest themselves physically. It's not just something in your head. It's a physical thing, as well as discovered I was really suffering from burnout as a pastor, just overworking myself in putting in lots of hours, trying to do so many different things in the congregation. And so when I had kind of come to grips with what I was facing, I talked with the elders of the congregation and said, somebody recommended a sabbatical. What do you guys think? And they were all in favor of that and very supportive of that. So to kind of make the longer story short, last November 30th, I began a six-month sabbatical to rest and recover and kind of get refocused on what I'm doing as a pastor and try to take better care of myself physically and emotionally and spiritually as well. So kind of in a nutshell, that's what led to my sabbatical, was dealing with some depression, some burnout, and just realizing I needed a longer break than just a regular vacation would give you.
So how is it different from a vacation? I mean, just the 3 weeks that a guy might take off contiguous in the course of a year.
Well, it's different, obviously, because it's generally longer. Can be several months in a row, which can let you do a lot of rest. It's different in the sense that a vacation, you know you are going back to work in, say, 3 weeks. And so while you're resting and while you're, you know, maybe seeing family or doing some fun things with your wife and children, let's say, you still know I have to go back, you know, pretty soon. And so a longer rest lets you kind of relax, let down your hair more, sleep in a bit more if you need that, or do other things that are more restful. So in a way, they're kind of the same. It's just, you know, more rest. It's a longer period for rest, or even more constructive activity like, you know, doing projects or, you know, working on hobbies or something like that.
Did it help?
Immensely, immensely. And that's why I'm glad to talk about it, so that other people can realize, yeah, that might be good for our pastor too, or other pastors can realize, hey, it might be what I need. But it helped immensely, yes.
What I'm surprised by, and I don't know the congregation you serve that well. I know some people there, a marvelous congregation. But any congregation, I'm surprised that they would say, if a pastor comes and says, look, here's my situation, this is what I'm going through, and someone has suggested a sabbatical, I'm surprised any congregation would say, well, you know, sounds like a good idea. We can do without pastor for 6 months.
Yeah, it's a rare breed indeed, and I'm very grateful to the congregation for that, and especially to elders who helped out and kind of got behind this and pushed, so to speak, to make it happen. Basically, in my case, I had a couple of elders who themselves had dealt with depression. You know, their parent or somebody they knew had dealt with depression. So they said, Pastor, it's our time to take care of you so you can continue to take care of us. So I was very blessed with that.
Let's speak in some biblical terms, Randy, mm-hmm. about work, labor, whatever you want to call it, even our vocations, as opposed to rest. How would we classify these two realms of human activity? Because they're both activities, mm-hmm. according to a biblical model.
Work and rest, you mean?
Yeah.
Those two activities. Well, work is very important. It's even there before the fall, if I like to point out to Bible classes and everything. Adam was created and put in the garden to tend and keep it. So work is part of creation before the fall. I think what happens after the fall is work becomes, pardon the pun, labor. It becomes something we don't like, something that wears us out and wears us down. And so we do need rest. But even before sin came into the world, God himself rested. So rest is also built into the creation. You know, God created the world and everything in it, the universe and everything in it, in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh, Genesis chapter 2. And then he also commanded that of his people on Mount Sinai when he gave the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. In 6 days you'll work, so on the seventh day you rest. So it's very important to keep work and rest together and kind of balancing each other out all the way from before the fall into sin, from the creation.
We have biblical examples of Jesus urging his disciples from time to time. He appears, especially early in his ministry, to have kept a pretty hectic pace, even for first century Palestine, and to be more or less mobbed 24 hours a day, especially when he's in the region of his hometown. And yet he urges, I'm thinking about the gospel reading for this last Sunday, in Mark's gospel, let's go away to a desolate place, and then Mark comments saying, for they had no leisure not even to eat. And they don't get the chance to rest, of course.
Right.
But Jesus
right.
at least makes an attempt. What's going on here?
Well, he is trying to rest himself because he's fully human as well as fully God. But also he wants his disciples to rest because they're getting weary too. They're working and giving of themselves in this endeavor as well, I'm sure, as other accounts can testify. So I think he's getting away to rest, to be restored. I think we should couple these verses with other passages where it talks about Jesus going away to pray, you know, like the night before he chose his disciples. He goes away for the whole night to pray. Kind of a mini sabbatical there, you might say, praying and relying on God's direction for whom he would choose as his disciples.
There's always an element, I mean, especially for us Americans. We look at the Europeans, they'll take, you know, 6 weeks vacation minimum. And we think, what lethargy, what sloth, because we as Americans think of ourselves as the rugged individuals, the self-made people, and people who value, we even call it a Protestant work ethic.
Right.
So we feel guilty mm-hmm. when we rest. Can you speak to that pastorally, scripturally, about in opposition to that notion that we got to be busy doing something all the time?
Yeah. It's one of those things that we really do take from our culture, that we have to be doing something or going someplace and keeping busy to have meaning in life. I mean, we almost try to find our meaning in life from what we do, our jobs, our other vocations, if you will, almost to a point of idolatry, I think, at times, we identify ourselves by what we do. Oh, I'm a pastor. I'm a bricklayer. I'm an accountant, whatever. And yes, that is the Protestant ethic or work ethic. That is also the American culture. But the trick is not to be guilty about resting, because you do need to be restored. We do need to have that time to focus not on ourselves, not on our work, but on God. You know, what does it all mean before Him, or you know, what does our work mean, you know, as He's given it to us, and how is He strengthening us in our time of rest? So yeah, we do need to rest as God Himself did, as He commands us to do. But we also might want to talk about the difference between rest and something like leisure or amusement. Those are two different things as well. We're very used to our leisure or amusement, our day off, our weekends. We almost go more on the weekends than we do during the work week sometimes.
It hardly qualifies as rest. At least it doesn't feel like rest when you get to Sunday night and you're as tired as you are on Friday afternoon. When we come back from the break, we're going to go straight to that question with Pastor Randy Asbury. As we talk about pastoral sabbaticals, not just as they apply to pastors, servants in the church, but God's people in general. What is the difference between what we call leisure and amusement? We spend a lot of time, very busy, in leisure and amusing ourselves. It's next to our jobs. We could say almost everybody's hobby, but it isn't rest. At least it doesn't feel like rest when you're done doing it. And is it good that a man wake up early in the morning, set about his task, and then when he gets home, say, well, I've got all the other things I got to do here at the house? And perhaps those who suffer most are not the man himself who falls into bed tired, but his own family. Stay tuned. We want to go to heaven. Me and my family, ain't that how you're supposed to do? But I'm tired.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org. And give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
You'll find a clearinghouse of Reformation resources at newreformationpress.com. T-shirts, music, outlines of important theological books, plus lectures by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. Check it out. NewReformationPress.com. If you like Reformation theology, you'll love New Reformation Press. www.newreformationpress.com.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, and click promote. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and we're talking about pastoral sabbaticals, rest, much-needed rest. Pastor Randy Asbury, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis, is our guest. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, the 21st of July, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Before the break, you had something to say about the difference between the amusements that we often fill our weekends with, our free time, or a day's off with, and genuine rest.
Right. Leisure time might be something like going to a movie, sitting and watching TV, doing something fun like that. Amusement might be something like going to the water park or Six Flags or playing softball tournament all day Saturday or something like that. Something totally different from your workaday world. But really, those are not rest. They may be fun. They may be very enjoyable, but they're not rest in terms of getting our focus off of ourselves and putting it on our Lord and Savior. In fact, one illustration compared leisure and amusement to cotton candy for the digestive system. It might taste good, but there's no nutritional value to it. Whereas rest is something where we're being restored or made whole again, if you will, to use some of the biblical kind of language with resting, and that we rest physically as well as spiritually. Focus on God, focus on His Word. What does He have to say to us? How is He restoring us? Things like that. And so that's how I would draw the difference between those two concepts of rest and then amusement or leisure on the other side.
Let's speak in some practical terms about if one of the church's servants, its pastors, or it could be anyone else who serves in the church, or at the church's pleasure, is in need of this, whether they recognize it or not. Would you recommend that a pastor takes a sabbatical when it's not an emergency, when it's not, I need this, if I don't have this, I'm on the edge of complete burnout or breakdown?
I would. I think that would be the ideal situation. I'd love to see all of our congregations in the Missouri Synod, for example, having sabbatical policies, regularly sending their pastors or other church workers on time of sabbatical rest and restoration, that sort of thing, because that will keep them healthy. I had to do it out of necessity, and I understand that, but it would be ideal to do it as a regular part of how a congregation cares for its pastor. And many authors will tell you that this actually helps pastors stay at a congregation longer because they're rested, they get refreshed, renewed, and so does the congregation. They get refreshed in their work in the Lord's kingdom and their corner of the vineyard. And so the pastor can stick around longer. And it also saves them time and money, because if a pastor gets burned out and then has to move on to another congregation, his first congregation has to go through the whole call process again, get another pastor, get used to him and him used to them over the next couple of years. And so a lot of downtime there as well. So a sabbatical really should be a regular part of how a congregation cares for its pastor.
Then how does a congregation see the benefit of doing without their pastor? They're going to have someone else filling in, obviously. But
right.
That relationship that's forged between pastor by the call with his congregation is not really – you can't substitute for it. It's just there is no substitute. How does a congregation see the benefit in – not having the guy around for however many months it requires?
Well, I guess in a way you could say they get a rest from him too. But actually they start seeing just how much their pastor does or what kinds of things he does, calling on the sick and the shut-in or even just Sunday mornings preaching and giving out the Lord's Supper. They get to see all of the things he does, and then they might start to realize, he does a lot. We do need to take care of him. They also might start to realize that, hey, we can help the pastor by, taking care of other things. Free him up so he can focus on the Word of God and prayer, as Acts 6 talks about. And, pastor will take care of the budgeting or the finances or the committees or this kind of thing. So it does free the congregation up to say, yeah, we can help our pastor out. In fact, one of the things I'm so grateful for is when I came back from my sabbatical back on June 1st, I talked with a couple of my elders, and they were saying, you know, we realized we need to step in and help you, Pastor. And that just kind of hit me in a good way. Wow, this really does work. That the congregation starts realizing their job is to support the pastor, not let him do all the work.
What did you do, finally?
On my sabbatical?
Yeah, for 6 months.
Well, I did many things. I spent time with family, went home for Christmas. On Christmas, that's rare for a pastor, as you may remember. Also took part in doxology, a great training program for pastors in spiritual care, put on by Pastor or Dr. Harold Sinkbeil and Dr. Beverly Yonke. I also did some other traveling to visit family again and some friends, and did some what I call private retreats, just getting away and spending time in reading and praying and things like that. Also did some woodworking, kind of got back into some of my hobbies like that, as well as just sometimes just sleep in. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do to get refreshed and restored.
What was the most difficult thing about, because I know what it's like. I mean, I'm one of those guys that yes, occasionally I do sleep in. I love to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, once I'm up, and then I just keep going. My wife will tell me at night, sit down. I'm over here watching television. Join me. And I feel like I always have to have something I'm doing. But what was the hardest part about not doing what you normally would be doing during those 6 months?
Well, one of the hard things was sitting in the pew. I realized just how much you have to listen to a guy ramble on during a sermon.
Hey, you were listening to me preach on a couple of those Sundays.
A couple of times, yeah. But I was able to pay attention to yours. I'll say that for the record. another hard thing was about 3 weeks into it, I kind of had the vacation mindset. Oh, no, I have to go back. And then it dawned on me, wait, I don't. So, you know, having a totally different kind of time schedule was took a little getting used to. But I'd say also another hard part was for a long time, you know, first probably 2-3 months, realizing that I wasn't doing my pastoral work and, you know, kind of questioning in my own mind, you know, was I going to again, you know, sort of thing, because it was just so different. It was like a foreign concept. But then toward the end of the sabbatical, started realizing, yeah, I need to be a pastor, like God has called me to be a pastor. So, but kind of getting used to a different routine was very difficult there.
Do you return to the pastoral ministry active with a deeper, a different insight into the divine call?
I think so, yes. I know I have. Realizing, here's what I'm called to do, to be a pastor, not an accountant, not a CEO or something like that. I mean, pastors can always get into other kinds of jobs if they choose to. But yeah, I think I came back refreshed and ready to say, okay, I'm here to be pastor, and a greater sense of what God is calling me to do by his divine call, and enjoying that and reveling in that and saying, yes, I want to be doing this just like God has called me. It's not labor. It's not, oh, I have to show up. No, I get to go to church and preach the gospel and give out the Lord's Supper.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds, your best advice on how a pastor should approach his people when it comes, if he feels that he needs, been recommended that he needs a sabbatical. 30 seconds.
Talk to your elders, get them on board, and tell them your situation. Be honest with them. Admit your frailties, your limits, and say, I need help. I need rest, and do some research in sabbaticals. There's a lot of good literature out there to help as well, and that will help the congregation too.
What about, with only 10 seconds, how the people might approach their pastor saying, Pastor, you need a rest?
We want to take care of you, Pastor. We're not trying to kick you out, but we want to take care of you, so let's talk about sabbaticals.
Pastor Randy Asbury is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is called Blessed is the Man. It's a walk through the Psalms from the perspective of the man's life and vocations. It's from Concordia Publishing House. It's Christ-centered and cross-focused. Find out more about Blessed is the Man at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Everybody needs this kind of rest. Now, will it be a perfect solution to the problems that face us in the church or in our other vocations? Of course it won't. We're sinners. Will it solve the problems that we face? Will it make the struggle against the flesh? Will it make the struggle against our own sloth and laziness any easier? No. But in this fallen world, we have no perfect solutions, only a perfect forgiveness of sins. And if there's time to reflect upon the Word of God that your pastor deeply needs, to reflect upon his place in the church, his place in his own life and many vocations that he occupies, informed by God's Word, and seen through the lens of Christ's work for us, his unending work and service to us, then rest is a good, good thing. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, etc., we'll talk about Pope Benedict's latest encyclical, Charity and Truth. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.